when Spirit lifts us high, to fill our hearts again with song. We are the voices of the world, add your voice and sing.
Sing along.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of PrepareForChange.net radio show. I am your host, Lynn, chair of the healing group at Prepare for Change. If you appreciate our shows that are on varying subjects to support your health, well-being, spirituality, environmental, and societal subjects, then please go to PrepareForChange.net and use the donate button in the right-hand column to help support our worthwhile organization. Today, my guest is Dr. Richard Gorris, a popular and controversial author, lecturer, and talk show host. Dr. Gorris is the well-known nutrition authority and creator of numerous health products, from oral surgeon at age 25 to guest personality for such celebrities as Geraldo Rivera and Art Bell. His amazing life has led him to be regarded as the Indiana Jones of health and nutrition. Dr. Gorris' globe-trotting lifestyle and maverick quest to educate others in safe, natural, and nutrition-based healing have made him a recognized authority on herbal, Indian, and Chinese medicine. Regularly appearing on national TV and radio, he continues to educate others in health and nutrition while acting as a spokesman and product developer for leading nutritional supplement companies. Welcome, Dr. Rich.
Thanks, Lynn, for giving me the opportunity to share this valuable information with your audience and your guests. I look forward to it.
Well, we're delighted to have you. And I know that you're full of information, and I thought we'd start with some dental issues, since that's your specialty, and you can enlighten us on that.
That sounds good. Let's the first thing, take a look at the oral cavity. That's where I sort of spent my professional career. One way, it's the gateway to youthfulness and health. And the other way, it's the gateway to disease and degeneration. If you take a look at our species in the animal kingdom, we are a degenerating species. Look at the number of degenerative diseases that we have. And if you take a look at those diseases and where they all begin, there's something common to those diseases in the oral cavity. And that is that the things that you put in your mouth, the foods that you eat, and how they get processed inside that dragon's tunnel inside your body determines how you grow, develop, and how youthful you are. So if you don't know what you're putting in your mouth in the way of food, and you're not nourishing your body, and you're not using your mouth, your oral cavity, as the gateway to youthfulness, the gateway to your future, and the gateway to the regeneration of your body tissues, which that's, you know, what we are. We're a self-healing, self-repairing, self-maintaining, regenerating organism that's designed to go for a long, long time. Unfortunately, humans, probably the most misinformed species in the animal kingdom. And let me give you an example of how frustrating it is to be working into the oral cavity and realize that that's the gateway to youthfulness for these folks. But the way they eat, the way they take care of their body, and what they know about their body and the oral cavity, or the tunnel that runs through it, what they know about it is marginal. And
true,
because of lack of information, they don't know the importance of nourishing the body, and most people just fill their body, they feed it, and they get fooled. So sort of go on an imaginary tour through that mysterious tunnel that runs from one end of the digestive tract to the other in an area or distance I refer to. The tunnel, it's a processor running inside the body, through the body, from kisser to clipper. If we take a look at that tunnel, every species in the animal kingdom has a different kind of a processor, because most different animals, different species or groups, have different types of foods they eat. You know, you hear about carnivores, herbivores, omnivores, and all those things, and that's based on the food that you eat. Well, working in the oral cavity, staring into the gateway of degeneration, usually, because in a dental or medical office, most people don't come to you until they have symptoms. They don't like going there, so they just wait, and when they have symptoms, and a symptom is something you're not happy with that interferes with your life, you go and see your health professional, don't you?
Exactly.
Okay, let's take your young child, 2 weeks old. Everything's great. We're taking this incredible infant that's supposed to be nourished by milk produced by mom, and in the humans, unfortunately, our species frequently wants to disrupt that. They say, well, kids don't need human breast milk, they need cow's milk. So we're going to give them a formula. Well, that's not right, and they end up malnourished. All because of what they put into the oral cavity. So let's take a look at some of the top things that you can put into your oral cavity in order to nourish your body.
Okay.
You can do foods, and like I said, foods will fill you up, but they often fool you. So let's take a look at some good things and some bad things that a mom could do to help a growing, developing child, whether it's a newborn infant, or it's a teenager, or it's a young adult, or a older adult, or a grandma or a grandpa. What are some of the things? Let's look at some good things. You got to have air, you got to have water, you got to have nutrients. And most of those nutrients, if you break them down to the real simple stuff, they're just a bunch of combination of elements assembled together into a food or a substance. So we've got to find a substance that's compatible with our processor, and we've got to put that substance through the gateway to health, or the gateway to youthfulness, the oral cavity. And before you have teeth, you're supposed to be getting milk from mom. But how many young moms are told, don't worry about the breastfeeding your baby, that's too inconvenient, just make it formula. That's not uncommon. And when they make the formulas, where do they get the liquid from? Well, you usually add water. So here you have a precious infant. You've taken it away from breastfeeding. You've denied it the nutrients necessary for its mind, nervous system, everything to develop, and you've given it milk from a cow, and the milk is supposed to double the birth weight of the calf in 30 days. Well, not too many human moms want their babies to double their birth weight in 30 days. Our infants don't have to chase mom around to be fed. The calf has got to grow up and be following mom in 30 days. Our infant doesn't. So why in the world would the species that I'm wearing into the gateway to degeneration most of my professional day, why would somebody want to put cow's milk in there, interfere with the growth and development of a child, and change the chemistry of the child and set the child up for nutritional deficiencies? And after a while, if you keep feeding people the same stuff, regardless of what you feed them, they talk about, you know, that's their nutrition. If you have deficiencies, your body breaks down. Well, what are some of the things that your mom, that you as a mom, can tell your child is body's breaking down? Well, tooth decay is pretty obvious. You know, most kids, you hear from the dentist that tooth decay is normal. It's part of growing up. But that's not an uncommon phrase, is it?
No, quite common.
Okay. Well, if we take a look at the animal kingdom and we take a look at all the creatures, here I am staring into the upper end of the digestive tract of the most misinformed species in the animal kingdom, humankind. The only ones to take away breast milk from their mom and substitute it with milk from another animal. So let's feed that infant a formula now, and we're going to add some water to this magic formula. We're going to substitute that. That kid starts getting the bad formula. Pretty soon they got a little bit of decay in their infant teeth. So you take it in and say, gee, Doc, I've seen some black spots on my kid's teeth, and I think there's holes in my teeth of my kids. Dentist looks at it without any x-rays, and you say, yeah, that's a big hole in the tooth. I could tell you, well, that's normal for kids. All kids get holes in their teeth, and we're going to put some fillings in there. Or I could say, Mom, let me give you a little bit of inside information. Tooth decay is not normal. It's a classic sign of a nutritional deficiency. And you say, oh no, a nutritional deficiency? What does that mean? That means that your child is suffering from at least a 12% deficiency in nutrients in order for that tooth to decay.
Wow.
Would you rather be told that you're not nourishing your child adequately and there needs to be some major changes so that precious child can grow and develop and mature and be reproductive and lead a normal lifespan? Or is that individual going to grow up and be subject to degenerative diseases? Because when all degenerative diseases begin in that mysterious tunnel running from kisser to clipper, usually the dragon's processor, which I refer to as the large and small intestine, that's where all degenerative disease begins. And we haven't had to look inside the stomach. We haven't had to take x-rays. We see a hole in the tooth, and Mom says, okay, my child is nutritionally deficient. What can I do about it? Most moms don't say that, unfortunately. So now you've got your precious child's got holes in their teeth because of nutritional deficiency. They got poisoning in the glands, the endocrine glands in their body, because when they were growing up on that formula where you just add water to a powder and you got instant baby's milk.
Yes.
That water's chlorinated, isn't it, from your city?
That's right.
Chlorine is some pretty bad stuff, and it's very unfortunate when it gets into the human body because it likes to be picked up by the endocrine glands, specifically the pituitary, the pineal gland, the gland of imagining, the gland of creativity, the vestigial third eye, the pineal gland. Next, the thyroid gland. Next, the thymus behind the breastbone. And the last is midline, is the reproductive tissues, male and female. So why would you want to start poisoning a developing child and saturating its midline endocrine glands with a metal that comes from a family in chemistry called halogen, H-A-L-O-G-E-N-S? And if you talk to a seventh grade kid in a chemistry class and have them explain to you about the halogens, they'll tell you they're a pretty bad group of chemicals. First one is chlorine, second one is fluorine, next one is bromine, another one is iodine, and there's another one with a long name, the is really not significant here. But what really is significant is those metals are drawn into those same endocrine glands that I told you about, pituitary, pineal, thyroid, thymus, and reproductive tissues. So now the child is developing, got holes in their teeth, and mom better put some fluoride on those teeth, make those teeth strong. What do you say, mom? Well, inside information, fluoride is a halogen. It's in that same group of nasty chemicals, the same group as chlorine. And here you want to put it on your child's teeth and you want to add it to their drinking water? I don't think so. Maybe not a good idea, but, you know, it's your choice, Mom. Well, let's take a look at something else. The teenagers that are growing up to get acne, they got all kinds of problems, degenerative things, and they're not happy about it. They start to have symptoms. They start to have more tooth decay. They start to have periodontal disease. And you go into the periodontist. Does the periodontist tell you that for your kid to have periodontal disease, they got to have an 18% deficiency in nutrients? No, they usually tell you, well, you know, as you're growing up, periodontal disease is not uncommon, gingivitis and all those things. And, you know, we can scrape your gums and do some surgery. Do they ever tell you that if you don't address your nutritional deficiency at the 18%, when you've got the periodontal disease, that it'll get up to 30% and you're going to have general arthritis. Typical maturity onset arthritis, usually in your 30s and 40s. Arthritis is not a disease, it's a definition. It means all of the joints in your body are inflamed. Or anything is inflamed, but arth means joint and itis means inflamed. Isn't it interesting that in the animal kingdom, one of the categories that's used to classify us is arthropods? And that's how we get around. And arthro means joint and pod means foot. We have a jointed foot. Mm. It's supposed to be flexible. Do you want to have arthritis in any one of the joints in your feet, in your hands, in your back, in your neck? Arthritis is not a disease. It's a definition. Let's take that same individual and let them stay on that junk food diet that they're shoveling in. And they continue on through life, all of a sudden, they're going to come down with stage 3 of arthritis, which is really bad. Usually when you're 70, somewhere in there, it's called old age hard of hearing. That's arthritis of the ear bones. So what do you want to have, Mom? You want your kids to have arthritis of the jawbone, arthritis of the repetitive motion joints, like the jaw? How about some weight-bearing joints like your feet, your knees, your hips, your spine, your neck? How about the joints in your ear bones? The joints in your hands and feet? You want to become inflamed and degenerated? Do you want to keep adding chlorine and fluoride into your body? That gets you pretty stressed out. You might have to go on some anti-anxiety medicines. Take a tour through chemistry and look up in the PDR a book that shows you structure of some of these anti-anxiety medicines. You'll find that there's a fluoride element added into that medicine. We already talked about how nasty fluoride was and how it accumulates in the human body. And take a look at some of the super antibiotics. They have that funny fluoride ion in there, catastrophic in the human body, but it's used all the time, unfortunately. How about women that want to avoid osteoporosis And they get those once a month pills where they get the shots that automatically build strong bones. Fluoride is in there too. I've got a longtime friend. I've known her since the 60s. She's laying in her living room right now in hospice. She's got about a week left to live. And all of her life, Frances has been plagued with arthritis. Frances ate junk food. She smoked cigarettes, took recreational drugs, took pharmaceutical drugs, had all kinds of arthritis early on in life, took arthritis medicines from the time she was a youngster. Started on some fancy medicines. She fell not too long ago in her bedroom and broke her neck, broke her ribs, and broke her arm. And they put her in the hospital. And they said that her bones had been turned to glass wind chimes because of the fluoride medication and all of the arthritis medicine she'd taken throughout her life. That her bones were too weak to heal. Classic sign of degeneration. If you talk to Frances about her childhood, she fits just into the little scenario we've talked about. She thought she ate good, but she wasn't nourishing her body. She was depleting it. Now let's go back to those halogens, because there's another one in there that's real important. The name of that one is iodine, but here's something interesting about iodine, and we'll talk about this in depth in another time. But iodine, if you have adequate amounts of iodine in your diet, as if you were eating like you're supposed to and have adequate iodine from the natural foods that you've eaten and the seaweeds, when iodine gets into your endocrine glands, it fills the spaces and it prevents any other of the halogens from entering the premises. Wouldn't that be neat if you could have iodine in your diet instead of chlorine, fluorine, and bromine?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be interesting to explore the possibility of adding iodine back to an individual's food intake through the oral cavity? Adding iodine and some potassium, two elements mixed together called potassium iodide. Wouldn't it be neat if you could get the iodine to go back and send it back through the system and see if it could tell those uninvited guests, those halogens, to move out, to leave the premises? In other words, detoxify, like some people might say. So if you have iodine, it's a halogen, but iodine is a nice halogen. All of the rest of them, fluorine, chlorine, and bromine, are not so nice, and they contribute in a large way to the premature degeneration, premature loss of youthfulness in our species. Lynn, how many times have you taken a look around at different animals that are eating, and anything that eats eliminates waste from its body? Species in the animal kingdom other than humans that need a special device to sit on to eliminate waste from their body?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. How about all of the animals? Have you ever seen an animal need anything to clean up the launch gate or the clipper, so to speak? If an animal's around the soil, that's sick. But there's never any species in the animal kingdom that needs toilet paper after it's eliminated waste, except humans.
That's an interesting thought.
Is there any other species in the animal kingdom that deprives itself of food to nourish his body so it can maintain its proper weight control, other than humans. Let's take a look in the oral cavity in humans and look at another group of chemicals that are really, really bad. Halogens are a bad group. Let's look at some now called heavy metals. We've heard of heavy metal poisoning in the human body. Lead is one of the common ones. Any other heavy metal poisonings that you can think of that occur routinely in the human body?
Would aluminum count?
Aluminum could count, yeah, but what about something like cadmium in gasoline or lead or mercury? Those are heavy metals, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's zoom back into that place that I spent my professional career glaring into, that oral cavity, the upper end of the digestive tract of the most misinformed species in the animal kingdom, humankind. Now remember, we talked about your growing child and you noticed that it had a hole in the tooth, and we're going to bring it in and see if what we could do about that. Let's flash back to that for a minute. Now, we've already established the fact that the hole in the tooth is because of a nutrient deficiency and electrochemical imbalance. So now we've got to figure about what are we going to do to fill up that hole. Well, a lot of kids, you know, they get silver fillings. That's a real common thing, isn't it? You know, moms and dads are faced with that decision. Got to put a filling in the child. You don't want to put a gold filling in a young child. I mean, they don't even have their adult teeth yet. Why put a gold crown on a baby tooth? That doesn't make sense. Or there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the dental office, as a matter of fact. So let's take a look at that filling we're going to put in. How about if we look in the periodic table of elements and we look at that filling material called silver? Sterling silver plates, sterling silver jewelry must be pretty nice. How about if we put a silver filling in your kid's tooth? Sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
A lot of insurances only cover silver.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's a little bit of inside information. There's more to silver in that filling than what you think. About half of the filling is mercury. Mercury is in a category of heavy metals. And mercury is a really, really bad one. And I can remember in seventh grade, Mr. Bald and my science teacher saying that mercury was the most toxic metal on the periodic table of elements other than radioactive material. Now, that was way back in the 50s.
Wow.
The most toxic material on the periodic table of elements other than radioactive material, and I'm going to mix it magically with some silver powder, and I'm going to make a silver filling. Well, Mom is a little bit inquisitive now, and she says, well, I understand that to make metal alloys, you have to heat them and melt them together. That's how you make an alloy. You heat it, you let them melt together, you let them cool down, and now you've got an alloy. Well, yeah, that's a metal alloy, a silver alloy that we're talking about going in the mouth. A silver alloy. All alloys oxidize. Silver gets tarnished. You have to polish it. But we're going to put it in with some stuff called quicksilver, also known as mercury. Also known in German by the phrase Quecksilber. And we'll go back and talk about Quecksilber in a minute. But let's make that filling now for your teenager's tooth. Mix up some silver powder and some mercury, but we can't heat it with a blowtorch. That's going to burn them. That would hurt them. It just so happens that mercury an alloy with other metals, because mercury exists in all three states, a solid, a liquid, and a gas, at room temperature. A solid, a liquid, and a gas. That means it has a negative vapor pressure. That means that the mercury is always giving off toxins, unless you have it in a vacuum liquid nitrogen cylinder. So mercury is a liquid. It flows. It's a solid. It can't decompress. And you can mix it with silver and some copper and tin and some stuff. And it makes like a putty. And then you can push that putty into the tooth and put pressure on it. And lo and behold, because of the unique characteristics of mercury, you are making an alloy. You are welding two metals together with pressure. That's what that little squeaky instrument that you hear in your mouth. The silver, the mercury, and the other powders turn hot, turn rigid in the oral cavity, and now you have the silver filling.
So it doesn't need to be heated. It can be just placed there, and with the pressure, it conforms to the shape it needs to be.
Well, here's sort of a visual. Just imagine a bunch of rocks and some glue and a milk carton. And you want to mix the rocks and the glue together into a heavy putty-like paste. And you want to fill the milk carton with the rocks and the glue and let the glue set up. And then you're going to peel the milk carton away and you're going to have a rock milk carton, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The rocks are the silver powder, the copper powder, the tin, zinc, the powders. Those are the rocks. The glue is the liquid mercury. Now, when you put the liquid mercury and the rocks together and you spin it in a machine, it sort of coats all the rocks. It's like putting rocks and glue in a cement mixer. You coat the rocks and then you pour it out, press it into a form, and that's what welds, is that little instrument that drains a tremendous amount of pressure. So what you're doing is you're pouring that mixture of the glue and the rocks into the shape. It flows, you compress it, you squeeze some of the mercury out, and that runs down underneath your tongue in your digestive tract, hopefully in the vacuum cleaner from the dental assistant. But also, that mercury is also a vapor. Remember, it's not stored, it's not contained, so while it's being used in your mouth, you're inhaling those mercury vapors. And mercury is unique. Remember how I said that the halogens have an affinity for the endocrine glands?
Yes.
Mercury, because it's a solid, a liquid, and a gas, that excess mercury that's coming off in your mouth when the filling is carved or scraped, or every time you chew, or every time you brush your teeth, mercury is given off. The silver filling is oxidizing, it turns dark, you go to the dentist and they polish it and make it shiny again. All that time, mercury's going off. Well, guess what? Mercury goes into your digestive tract, it kills off your probiotics, and you know how important those are. Mercury also goes into your circulatory system from underneath your tongue. It also goes into your respiratory system, and mercury has an affinity for nervous tissue. It loves to get into nervous tissue, specifically the optic nerve, the nerve that supplies your eye. Well, now let's take a look at mercury that gets in the circulatory system, gets in the respiratory system, has an affinity for brain and nervous tissue, and specifically the eye. Why would you want to put that in somebody's tooth that's contained inside their head? and they're going to chew on it, and they're going to grind on it because they've got teeth that are designed to grind the food that nourishes the human body. Every different species of different herbivores, omnivores, carnivores, oleivores, they all have different anatomy and physiology and ways of gathering food and bringing food to their body, but getting different types of food into the processor that they need. Carnivores, primarily meat. Herbivores, primarily plant. Omnivores, a little of each. But if you start putting chlorinated water, fluorinated water, fluoride treatments, fluoride in your antibiotics, fluoride in your anti-anxiety medicine, and it's saturating the body that's growing and developing. It's not even an adult yet. And you've got mercury poisoning, and you've got mercury that's going into tissues that it's difficult to get it out of. And mercury loves to get into the pituitary gland. It loves to get into the pineal gland. It loves to get into the thyroid. It loves to get into the thymus. It loves to get into reproductive tissues. It loves the digestive tract. It's compatible with all parts of the human body.
Wow.
Well, it's not really compatible if you want to look at it from a different way. It's pretty nasty toxin. Why would we put that? Why would we put that into the human species? Why would, when we took both, some of us, brings in there, says, I'll give no poisons and I'll do no harm. Humankind, Lynn, is an endangered species. 80% of our population of childbearing age is incapable of producing healthy offspring. So think of the decisions now that'll be saved. If you don't have healthy offspring, and we're an endangered species, choices and consequences. The choices that you make are the consequences that your child, your children, your loved ones, those are the consequences that exist, and those consequences ideally should be characteristics of youthfulness instead of characteristics of a degenerating species who prematurely poisons themselves with the foods that they eat, the air that they breathe, and the water they drink. But there is hope. There's a way to do it right. Any of that shock you?
All of it. So, is iodine the best detox for heavy metals?
Well, iodine, you know, you want to do some research on potassium iodide, and here's one of the ways it's frequently used. You know that thing called Fukushima where they got all that radioactive material?
Yes.
Okay, and you know how it's pretty much wiped out the life in the Pacific Ocean, anything from about 400 miles off the Pacific coast, anywhere from Mexico to Canada? After you get about 400 miles out, there's not much growing on the seafloor anymore. Well, they say that there's a large amount of radiation that's coming our way, the North American continent here, and there's a lot of people, particularly chemists and people who explore things, will tell you that if you get the potassium iodide, which you can get in health food stores or from reputable companies, and take that, that will help to block the precious tissues in your body with the iodine uptake and prevent the radioactive materials and things from getting in there. It can also be used as a different types of detoxes, you know, under supervision. Very powerful. I take it on a regular basis.
So, is this recommended then for people along the western coast?
Anybody that I talk with that I know about, I t- tell them exactly what I just told you, and most of them end up taking the potassium iodide.
How do you know how much to take?
Different reasons. You can get iodine in different ways. You can get iodine in liquids that you put on your skin. There's a lot of different ways, and at some other time we can go specifically into some more of the deeper chemistry. But yes, there's iodine available, and I would encourage people to explore it. Do your own research. Look it up. Look up the halogens. Look up, do some serious thinking about the chlorine in your water. Here's something a lot of people, they say, well, I don't like the chlorine in my city water, so I've got a filter in my kitchen, or I've got a filter in my house. Next thing I ask them is, do you filter the chlorinated water out of your shower and bathtub? Oh, no, they hadn't thought about that. Well, if you stand in a warm water shower for 15 minutes or sit in the bathtub for 15 minutes in chlorinated water, you get about as much chlorine that goes into your body as if you drank 1 gallon of that city water. It's best not to put chlorine, bromine into your body because it's hard to get it out. It's just like mercury. It's better not to get it into your body than to be trying to get it out. What are the ways you can get mercury into your body? Well, mercury silver fillings is certainly a big one. The burning of coal. Look how much coal was burned around the world. And when coal burns, mercury is produced in the vapors. It gets in the ocean and the algae. It gets in the foods. It gets in the fish. It gets in all kinds of things. There are ways that have been used for many, many years, not, just a few, but for a long time, of detoxing heavy metals and halogens from the body. And remember the guy Hippocrates that wrote the Hippocratic Oath also said, foods first, drugs second, surgery last. Well, that doesn't seem to be the motto of Western medicine. It's pills first, surgery next. And they'll tell you nutrition doesn't matter. Well, nutrition does matter. The choices you make in how you nourish your body with the elements, the chemistry that goes into it, and how appropriate it is for your body is what determines the quality of your life, your youthfulness, and how long the adventure of your lifetime really is.
Wow. That's a lot of information.
Do you want to delve in on any of it in a little bit more detail?
I was wondering what effect structured water would have on filtering out the chloride in the water.
Well, once you get your water all purified, you get all of the chemicals out of it that you can, then you can put electricity through it, you can ozonate it, you can do all kinds of different things to it, including structuring it. Structuring it makes it far more bioavailable to your body. It's a very powerful thing to do, yes. It's one of many things that you can do, with water, air, or the nutrients that you consume. Those are the keys. Those are the keys to your future. Those are your keys to your youthfulness, regardless of your age. There's four big keys. One is the air you breathe, the quality and purity of it. Another is the water that you have available to you and how well it's hydrated, how well it goes through your body and how well hydrated you can stay. You got to keep in mind that we don't have a place to store water in our body like we do in cars. So that's really, really important. So it's the air you breathe, the quality of it, the availability, the water, and then most importantly, or as important, are the foods that you choose to nourish your body with. And then, since, remember, I said the human body is an amazing regenerating electrochemical being, in order to regenerate, you have to prevent degeneration. You're going to only regenerate or degenerate. That's all that's going to happen. If you want to regenerate, you want to put in those nutrients necessary to give your body the ability to heal, repair, regenerate, and rejuvenate. And if you take a look at the miraculous human body and all the things that it's doing in the middle of the day or daytime, it doesn't have a lot of time to do repair work. It's got more critical things. But the other key is your sleep and the quality of your sleep, because that's when about 80% of all the healing, repair, regeneration occurs in the human body, is when you sleep, if you have high-quality sleep. If you're taking drugs and chemicals that alter your sleep, no, your body's not healing and repairing and regenerating. You know, if you've poisoned your digestive tunnel, the Dragon's processor, and you don't have the right kind of probiotics, not just any probiotics, but the right ones, you've interfered with your nutrient uptake and the ability of your body to eliminate toxins. So sleep is big, because that's when the healing and repair occurs. And it only can occur with the things that are available in your body. If you are deficient in nutrients, you're going to end up with degenerative conditions. And a degenerative condition that our particular species has a lot of fits into the big category of arthritis. Remember, arthritis is in a lot of forms. Arthritis of the jawbone, that's the joint between the teeth and the jawbone, that's one stage of arthritis. Next stage of arthritis is usually weight-bearing or repetitive motion joints. Repetitive motion like TMJ, jaw problems. Okay? So weight-bearing and repetitive motion, wherever there's motion and weight-bearing, there's friction. And if the fluids aren't adequately nourished, and those fluids that allow joints to move on each other, the bones to approximate and slide on each other, if those fluids are contaminated, you're going to have inflammation. If you have inflammation, you have heat, swelling, and you have the beginning of a degenerative process. All degenerative disease begins in the colon, in that Dragon's processor, that tunnel running from kisser to clipper. It all begins there. So if you want to change anything about your life, regardless of your age, the most significant place to begin is in that Dragon's processor. But you've got to maintain the inbound nutrients necessary for your body to regenerate, because if you don't, it will degenerate. You know, I mentioned, Lynn, the word quicksilver and quicksilver.
Yes.
I said I'd go back to that since we've talked a little bit about mercury. Here's another little tidbit. In the very first dental school in the United States, in the middle of the 1800s, when they first graduated their first class, everybody in the class in those schools took the Hippocratic Oath. They also, the dentists, took an oath that they would never use, during the practice of medicine, one thing that they would never, 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 ever use on a human being was a substance called quicksilver in German, quicksilver in English, more commonly referred to as mercury. So if you graduated as a dentist in the middle of the 1800s, you took the Hippocratic Oath and two phrases, I'll give no poisons and I'll do no harm. And just to reassure the people, their patients, that they really believed in that doing harm, they also signed that oath that they would not use mercury in dealing with the human body. And if they did, they were given a horrible nickname, and that nickname was quack.
Wow.
Yeah. If you used mercury on humans in the middle of the 1800s and you took, graduated from that school and you took those vows and oaths, if you did put in a mercury silver filling, you'd be called a quack.
So that's where that term came from.
Must have been.
Wow.
I've also heard people say that quack in, you know, people that are heavily involved in Western medicine usually or frequently refer to people as quacks who really are competition to them.
Yeah.
You know, that's all subject to discussion, but, you know, mercury is not good. And mercury is in, you know, it's in lots of vaccinations. It can be in the oceans, it can be in the fish. So what you really have to do is you have to consider that just being alive and going through the day, not only do you have to pay attention to what you eat, but you have to pay attention to the things that you might get into your body, that if you ate better and nourished your body, you'd be refueling your body all the time, and you'd be always detoxing. You got inbound nutrients and outbound toxins. So all we got to do to be kind to our body and have it real happy and youthful is to put in the nourishment, the nutrients necessary to nourish our body, mind, spirit, and soul, and make sure that we avoid some of the most dangerous things there are. It's risk management. Why is it that we should just allow our youngsters, beginning with the precious infants at birth, why should we allow them to become part of a chemically engineered world?
You know, Dr. Rich, you make it sound so simple. It's just a shame that people haven't gotten this information.
It's simply frustrating, right?
It is. Wow.
What thing would be the one thing, if you could choose one thing that we've discussed, that you would have liked to learn when you were in elementary school that may have had an impact on your life? Anything in particular?
Well, I think it would go back to the cavities. You know, it, as you described, that is the beginning of nutritional deficiency. If mothers and if they taught their children about what foods to eat to nourish their bodies so that they wouldn't get cavities and they wouldn't be nutrient deficient, that's probably the basis.
It is, and imagine the investment. If we could go back and just do some role playing when we were teenagers, imagine the return on the investment. If you consider the investment that you make is the foods that you choose to nourish your body with. Okay, so when you buy those foods, it's going to nourish you, allow you to heal, repair, regenerate, and maintain your characteristics of youthfulness for a long time. If you do that, that seems like a fairly ideal way. It should be fairly simple, doesn't it?
Yes, and then you avoid all the other problems, you know, the arthritis and the joint
let's go back to the arthritis of the jaw bone and the periodontal disease. Where do all of the other animals that have teeth and jaw bones, where do they get their periodontal disease done? Where do they get their fillings done? Where do they buy the porcelain pond, you know, the decorator item that's, you know, covertly tucked away in a special room in everybody's home? Isn't it strange the amount of money that people spend on convenience foods or convenience devices? You know, a convenience device, How many other animals have you seen brushing their teeth with a toothbrush? You know, in all of the animal kingdom, a convenience device. Imagine if we could train animals to use a toothbrush to sit on a toilet and to need toilet paper. Imagine the people that could be put to work building those items.
It's simply amazing.
Toothbrushes, porcelain pans, and toilet paper to clean up the launch gate for every species in the animal kingdom. It's only fair.
We are certainly unique creatures.
Yes, we are. And we are so unique that regardless of your age or how old you are or how young you are, it's never too late to make changes in the choices that you make in the way of nourishment for your body. It gives you the consequences of the experience of your lifetime in a multi-sensory and a multi-dimensional way. That's what kids should be experiencing, kids of all ages. Obesity is a classic sign of malnourishment, just like tooth decay is. Tooth decay and malnourishment and obesity, they're all the same thing. The other thing about obesity that's most interesting is a lot of the fat that the human body produces, it has to produce because it needs a storage facility for the toxins that are accumulating in the body faster than a developing body can deal with. Particularly developing, but even adults. When you've got a heavy burden of toxin in your body and your colon, liver, kidneys, lungs, and everything is congested, and it's dumping trash out on your skin, and your body's deteriorating, your body says, hey, wait a minute, we can't get rid of this stuff fast enough. Let's just build a little extra storage site called fat, and we'll store a lot of the toxins in the fat. Then we'll burn the fat later on, get rid of the toxins, and everything will be okay. Most people don't understand that. You know, they burn a little fat, they get toxins circulating in their fluid, and because they don't understand how to detox or retox or deal with their body, you know, they feel miserable. The whole idea is it's inbound nutrients and outbound toxins. So that means as often as you're eating, you're detoxifying. Because as the food goes through that dragon's processor running through our body, it gets burned up, broken down into smaller parts, smaller things, all made of elements, chemistry, into a form that can be utilized by our body. And then after the body's taken all of the good stuff out, the byproducts of combustion, all of the molecular debris, the toxins are moved on down the line through the body. We've got 5 waste management systems in our body. That's how important detoxifying is. Detoxing is not something you do one day or 2 days or, you know, once a month or once a year. If you want to maintain your usefulness, you want to nourish your body with inbound nutrients, and you want to cleanse and bathe your body with the outbound toxins, molecular debris. You don't want to be a storage facility for toxins like people that are obese. I mean, you know, after conception, Lynn, we talk about intelligent mammals. Dolphin is a pretty intelligent mammal. It's unique that, you know, it hangs out in the ocean. But isn't it unique that after conception, for the first 9 months of life after conception, our infants grow in an environment like a dolphin. And then as they pass through the birth canal, they are transformed from an aquatic mammal to a terrestrial mammal. And imagine if we shared the intelligence that the dolphins have and they share it with their species, and they try to share it with humans. Imagine if we let them be an example for us.
We could learn from the animals.
Take a lesson from nature. There's plenty of lessons in nature.
Well, it sounds like this is going to lead into another discussion, maybe about foods.
Sure, we can talk about foods. I like to talk more specifically about the fuels that are necessary to nourish the human body, which includes the foods. But food, I mean, you can eat food. Just because you eat food doesn't mean it's going to nourish you. Just because you eat food, I mean, you can even eat organic food prepared by a gourmet chef. And if you don't have the right probiotics in that dragon's processing tunnel, everything that goes through there in the way of inbound nutrients or outbound toxins is going to be compromised, and you're not going to get the quality and the efficiency of function that you're trying to get from it. One of the things maybe sometime is to focus specifically on what goes on inside that mysterious and seldom discussed tunnel that runs through the human body. That's where regeneration begins. And how can you regenerate if you're putting degenerative foods into your body? You can fill up on foods. That doesn't mean they nourish you. You know, you could feed a lion the food of an elephant, you'd give a straw and cabbages and all that. You could take a lion and an elephant's food, switch them, and that now the lion gets the cabbages and the straw. What does the elephant get? The elephant gets all the meat, all the carcasses, all the chicken. And then what happens, because the elephant doesn't have a digestive tract like a carnivore, that elephant has a gastrointestinal distress. Can you imagine the abdominal cramps and discomfort in the digestive tunnel in an elephant versus the human body? If you take a look at the human species, the number one reason that our species goes to the emergency room at the hospital, other than an accident, the number one reason our species goes to the emergency room: gastrointestinal disturbances. It all begins in the gateway, the oral cavity. What you put in there, how you fuel and nourish your body, that's your future. It's your life. It's your health. It's your choice. And the experiences and the consequences of your choices should be multisensory and multidimensional throughout the adventure of your lifetime, regardless of your age.
Well, this was a very interesting journey into the digestive system, and starting with the mouth, that sounds like a pretty important area. I'm hoping we can continue this discussion in another episode of our show.
I will be ready, willing, and waiting.
Wonderful. Well, that's an invitation. Thank you so much, Dr. Rich, for enlightening us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Lynn. I look forward to it. Remember, the choices and the consequences and your youthfulness is in the decisions that you make. Make the good ones. Get the good stuff in and don't let the bad stuff in.
Yes.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Thank you for being with us for this hour. Please join us each Sunday night on BBS Radio Station 1 at 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Shows can also be heard in the Archives section of the Media tab. Please remember that PFC is a volunteer group and we survive by donations only. So look deep within, and if you feel guided, we encourage you to go to prepareforchange.net website and donate an amount you can afford. That way you can assist us to continue the work at prepareforchange.net global movement. We thank you for your generosity and your much-needed show of love and kindness. Remember, we are all voices of the world.
Again with song, we are the voices.